We're glad that you are chosen to be with us. And the series of Casting Christmas brings this idea together where most of us have heard the Christmas story. We've heard it numerous times. But have you ever thought about it from this perspective? If it was up to me and I was going to be the one who was going to announce the birth of the Savior and I was going to do those things, would I do it? Would I cast Christmas in the same light? And when you think about some of the characters of Christmas, Mary and Joseph, and you think about the shepherds, and you think about the wise men, this is an interesting group of individuals that were cast into this idea of transforming, because it obviously transformed the entire world because of this and because of how it happened. And one of the things about it is that I did a little research this last week and began to look at this idea of birth announcements. You know, because if you think about it, you think about Christmas, you think about birth announcements and those types of things. It's a big deal for a lot of folks that whenever you're having a baby, you love to tell everyone about it. And a little bit of a history here in America is that they can find birth announcements as early as the 1700s in newspapers. That was the big thing. Is that when somebody was born, then they could have a birth announcement, and everybody was like, hey, here's who's born, and it was a celebration. In the 80s and in the 90s, even in the early 2000s, then the idea was that whenever you were going to have a baby, then you would bring family together, maybe it was at a family gathering, and then you would unveil to them that there was going to be a grandson or a granddaughter. You've watched enough America's Funniest Home Videos when grandma finds out for the first time she's going to be a grandmother, and she dances around and all those kind of things. You remember that? And then in the last few years, the latest thing that has happened, the latest trend, is this idea of gender reveals. How many of you have ever witnessed or seen on Facebook a gender reveal? Show of hands. Many of us have. And so this is where you invite family or friends and you gather them around. Maybe you have two cakes and one's pink and one's blue. And then somebody stands in front and then they go to the blue cake or the pink cake to determine the sex of the child. Other people do the balloon thing, right, where they bring a balloon in. And so, you know, when you pop the balloon, is it pink confetti or is it blue confetti? And you know that these things become very elaborate, and sometimes we really think through them and we make sure that if we're going to do it, we do it right and we make it happen. Matter of fact, I want to show you a gender reveal that went all wrong. I just thought that this is, I saw this video and I said, man, I got to show my friends this video of a gender reveal that went wrong. Let's watch the screen together. So here it is. I'm going to find out if this is a boy or a girl. This guy is whacking the stew out of this balloon. Now, one more time, buddy. You can do it. Oh, there goes the balloon. Now, watch. You got to love this. Here's the dad. Here we go. Whoa, and he's down for the count right there. Oh, man. Don't you just love that right there? You know that this is a video that whenever that child turns 16, mom's going to say, that's your father, right? That's going to be, there he was. They're going to be like, yeah, that's a typical dad right there. I mean, that's, you know, here's the thing. I thought about, what's the history of birth announcements? And quite honestly, as I went through and tried to find history on it and tried to look it up and had a real hard time figuring it out. But if you think about it, Christmas, if you've got a program, you can follow along. Christmas represents the biggest birth announcement ever. You ever thought about that? I mean, here's the thing. You want to think about today and how excited we get and how glad we are when somebody says, hey, I'm pregnant. And you're like, wow, this is wonderful. And then there's a moment where we reveal the gender of the child and all those things. But if you think about Christmas and you think about the things of Christmas and you recognize it, then you know that that is potentially the largest, biggest birth announcement ever. It is the biggest birth announcement ever. It is the one that transformed an entire group of individuals. And so today what I want to do, if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I want to encourage you to open it up to the book of Luke, the second chapter, and we're going to look at verse 8 and following. And here's what happens in verses 1 through 7. That's the birth of Jesus. And then in verse 8, we get this introduction of these new characters. It says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Now, I want to pause here because many believe that the shepherds may have been very poor individuals, that they've been very smelly. Obviously, they would because they work with sheep, that they were a bit of outcasts. Others believe that the shepherds were just normal, everyday workers, that they were folks very similar to what we would have as blue-collar workers, just people who worked their job to earn their income, to do the things that they needed to do. There's a document that was put together around the time of Jesus, a Jewish document called the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was a document that was written for the sole purpose of how things were conducted inside the temple. How did they go about their rituals? How did they do their stuff? And one of the Mishnah documents even tell us that possibly that these shepherds might have been priests. And the reason behind that is because they're in Bethlehem, which is right next to Jerusalem, which is where the synagogue would have been, the largest temple. Everything would have been centered around Jerusalem, and that these men would have been individuals whose job was to make sure that the flock or the herd, the group of individuals, the group of shepherds that are the group of sheep were the ones that were going to be used in sacrifices at the temple. And so they had to be done right. And because of it, by this time, we know that there was a tremendous amount of rules and regulations and knowing what does a spotless lamb look like. And so understanding those things. And this is one of the reasons why there's even a belief that these might have been priests. The truth of the matter is these were ordinary individuals like you and me. That in this moment, what you're about to see happen isn't something that happened to royalty. It isn't something that God decided, I'm going to find whoever sitting in Rome at that moment, whoever the emperor is, I'm going to find them and I'm going to announce to them the powerhouse or the powerhouse of what was happening in Egypt or in Africa, the powerhouses of its day that was in this moment and in this place that God shows up and here's what happens. It says this, it says that, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them and the radiance of Lord's glory surrounded them. Now you have to understand this idea of the Lord's glory is the very same thing that happened to Moses literally 1,000 years earlier when he was up in the mountain and he was having this conversation with God. It was this enormous amount of power, this enormous amount of light and radiance that happens. And so here's what happens in that moment. It says that the shepherds were terrified. No, duh. The angel reassured them. The angel said this, hey, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. He says, don't be afraid. We got more things that are happening. He says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And the reason that this has an exclamation mark behind it is because the Jewish boys, the guys who are out there in the fields, the shepherds, would have been trained from a very young age, from about the age of 6, maybe even some of them, to 12 or 15, to understand that everything in Judaism centered around the idea that someday there would be a king in the line of David, and he would appear, and when he shows up, everything's going to be better. Everything's going to happen. Everything's going to go. And every generation from David on believed that there was going to be an opportunity, that this might be the moment. And can you imagine? Not just a front row seat, but that you became the stadium in that moment as God makes an announcement. This is something that these men have thought about. This is something they've memorized scripture all through the Psalms and understanding that ever since Abraham, back in the days of 1,500 years previously, there was an announcement and an understanding that someone would come and would rescue the people. And some of us even understand this idea because even today, this is part of your Christianity because you know that no matter how bad life gets for you, someday Jesus will come back and redeem us. Someday he will come to this earth and take us to heaven. Someday things will happen and you and I long for that. You and I have longed in those moments and you've had bad days and bad years where you've thought to yourself, man, God, if you would just show up, this would be the right time. And just like you long for Christ's return, these men long for the day that the Savior, the Messiah, would come and would rescue the people of Israel. They knew that that day would happen, and they got to be part of a stadium that God built just for them. And it says this, It says, you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. They continue on by saying, suddenly, that one angel who's making the announcement is now joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. Let me explain this to you. If you've ever watched the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in football come out of the locker room, and there's that sign above that they all put their hands on and says, play like a champion today. This is exactly what God has prepared in this moment, because the coach, whoever that head angel was, they walk out and boom, there they are. And then all of the team, the rest of the angels, the armies of heaven, this is a number that's so big you can't even count it with your fingers. These guys are all standing in the tunnel and they're ready. And so this guy comes out and he's like, hey, the Savior's born. I want everybody to know it. And these guys are like, we can't wait anymore. We're ready to come out and we're ready to do this. And so boom, they just explode. And here are these shepherds and they're just thinking, what just happened? I mean, listen to this. It says they're praising God and they're saying glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. And what an incredible moment that happens in this. What an incredible thing. The biggest birth announcement ever. For you to know that the birth announcement was so big. It was so big that it scared these guys to death. Think about that. The scripture says they were terrified. They were terrified. Have you ever been terrified? Maybe there was a time that you were working at a convenience store and somebody came in and robbed it. And man, you were just like, oh, I don't know if I'll make it through this. I know the closest thing I've ever had to being terrified is if any of you in the room that have small children and you're dead asleep in the middle of the night and they decide to wake up at 3 a.m. and they don't want to wake you up, so they just stand there and stare at you and breathe on you. Anybody here had that happen? You've had that happen before? You know what that's like. And all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm getting this warm air. And then you open up and then there they are 1 inch from your face and you're, ah! That's the terrified we're talking about here. That's the kind of, I mean, it's like, ah! And then you have to get up and you got to change the sheets, right? You've been there before, right? And you're like, oh my goodness. And you got to change their sheets. Everybody's sheets got to get changed. I mean, this is what's happening in this moment. This announcement is so big that everyone who's sitting there, everyone who's standing there, all of the shepherds in this moment are absolutely terrified. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've been to a gender reveal, you don't get terrified when the cake gets cut. You may have gotten excited. But I mean, this moved. And the announcement was so big that it didn't just take one, but we learned this, that the announcement was so big that one angel wasn't enough. That the armies of heaven had to show up. That this is huge. That God had been waiting from the beginning of time for the moment and the right place. And here are these guys who've been telling the same stories of prophets of 400 years ago over and over again. And they have learned over again, someday this Messiah will come. Someday we'll no longer be under occupation. Someday we'll understand what freedom looks like. Someday there will be someone who comes and changes everything in our world. And God decided in that moment not just to send one guy, but he started it off. And then God said, that's it. We're opening up heaven and every single one of you, you file out of heaven and you show up and you show those guys what a birth announcement looks like. And here's the thing for you and I, is that 2,000 years later, we hear a story like this, and it may give us warm fuzzies, but it doesn't move us like it did them. And here's the thing that I learned when I read this passage of scripture, is that when I look at the shepherds, there are some things that they did in this process that you and I can do as we move into this Christmas season to have this kind of understanding so that we can recognize what's happening in us. And so here's the thing. I want you to look at what was their response to this biggest birth announcement ever. How did the shepherds respond to this? And if you look in the next few verses, it says this in Luke chapter 2. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Then they continue on and they say this. They hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And they continue on by saying this. Then after they saw him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And then the conclusion in verse 20 says this, then the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. There are some things that we see that I want to encourage us with today, that I want to encourage us with in this Christmas season that we saw the shepherds do that you and I could probably emulate. The first one is this. Did you notice these guys went quickly? They didn't just sit around. They didn't hope that maybe, well, I'll get to it next Tuesday. I'll look and see if I have an opening in my calendar. I'll see what kind of things that I have. I mean, can you imagine at the end of that moment when all of these angels show up and after they've had to wipe up the floor, they're saying to themselves, wow, we've got to drop everything and do this. When was the last time you dropped everything for Jesus? You ever thought about that? Man, you and I, we'll get to it. I'll eventually make it happen. But first, I want to make sure that I do this over here, and then I got to go visit this person, and then I got to go talk to these people, and I got to do that, and I've got work to do, and the kids have got these things going on at school, and we got this happening, we got that happening. But the fact is that these guys did what they did, and they did it quickly. They basically said in this moment, we have seen that which we've been waiting for our entire lives. And that adds a question to me about anticipation. You know, you and I anticipate Christ's return, but do we anticipate it from the perspective that if he returned in the moment, we would be thinking to ourselves, I've dropped everything. Here's the second thing that amazed me about this, is that not only did they go quickly, but they went themselves. You and I have a tendency to send people, don't we? Hey, why don't you run down the store and pick us up something? You know what, if it's really that big of a deal, then I know that my family's going, and so they'll come back and tell me that it's a really good thing. We're not opening night kind of people, are we? We're not the kind of people that like to show up and say, man, here's the thing. If it's that good, then I'll go see it. We hear this about concerts. We hear this about events all the time. How was it this year? Well, it was a little better than last year. Okay, well, then I might put it on the list and I might go. But you want to hear it from somebody else who's already been there. You don't want to be the one that shows up. You don't want to be the first one in line. You don't want to be the one who's there. For these guys, it was their moment. And not only did they go quickly, but they said, I'm going myself. I'm not calling my wife on the phone and saying, won't you go show up? I hear there's a baby downtown Bethlehem somewhere in a barn. Maybe you can find it and let me know how it goes. Because if it's really as big as what we just thought, then I might show up. I might make it next Tuesday. I've got an opening in my calendar that I think I could possibly make it over there. I mean, you think about it. These guys went themselves. They said, this is it. We're dropping everything in this moment. We're dropping all the stuff happening in our world, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to see it for myself. I want to see it live. The third thing is this, is that after they saw it, then it says they told everyone what they experienced. Man, they didn't leave this out for anybody. They didn't go, we made it over. We kind of saw the Messiah. No big deal. No, they didn't do that. I mean, these guys said, we saw it. You remember in first grade, whenever the teacher got up and said, someday a king will come and he'll come from the line of David. We saw that. We were there. We got a front row seat. The scriptures tell us that it moved others. It says this, that whenever others heard it, they were astonished. Do you hear that? These people were moved. I mean, they were so moved by that moment. They were saying, man, I cannot believe it. You, and these guys are talking on and on and on. And you should have seen it. It was amazing. And the angels left. And then we went. And just like the angel said, we saw it. We saw the baby. We were standing there in a smelly barn. And it was awesome. And you got to go see it too. You cannot miss this. And yet, for so many of us, we've heard the Christmas story so many times. You show up at Christmas Eve and somebody at work's asking you, what are you doing? And it's Christmas Eve. We go to church. That's the thing we do. Nobody's moved. The King of Kings has arrived. God took every birth announcement that was ever brought in the world and he brought it in a place to where he said, you know what? I know that in the year 2019, people are going to do birth announcements and they're also going to do these gender reveals and they're going to have big parties and they're going to do extravagant things. But even 2,000 years later, I'm going to trump them. I'm going to bring heaven's armies to make this announcement. I'm going to bring everything I've got. I'm going to light up a dark sky and I'm not going to go to the people whom everybody thinks I should go to. I'm going to go to a group of guys who are standing out there working the sheep, and they understand what they're trying to do, but they've been waiting for me all this time. And the thing about it is that sense of anticipation, that sense of wonder, that sense of awe, this Christmas season, how is that coming for you? Man, are you just saying life's too crazy right now? It's too busy. And when people come up to you and say, tell me about it, and you go, you know what? I know a little bit about it. I've experienced it. It's okay. These things are good. It's fine. Or do people walk away and your experience of what Christ is doing in you and they're absolutely 100% astonished? See, I love Christmas. And one of the reasons I love Christmas is because I love seeing churches that are filled up time after time after time. And my prayer is that people would walk away completely astonished by the things that God does. We want to give you that opportunity. Today, when we get done, as we leave here in just a little bit, you'll see baskets and there'll be people in the back holding some baskets. But I encourage you to grab some of these cards, and they're just little 3x5 or little business cards. And they're inviting people for Christmas. And my question is for you, would you be willing to invite someone and not just say, you know what, my church is doing a Christmas thing and here you go. But would you be willing to invite them in such a way that the shepherds would have seen it, that somebody walks away astonished by the experience that you've had with Christ, that they would walk away moved in such a way. And then the fourth thing that's probably the most amazing thing of this entire passage of Scripture, they went back to work. Look at verse 20. And they're like, whoa! And then they go back, and it says this, they were praising God for everything they saw. They went back different. You see, here's the thing that so many of us think about Christianity is that Christianity has to be this deal that here's the thing. If I'm all in, then God wants me to quit my job. God wants me to move to some foreign country where I don't know anybody and the food's horrible. And God's wanting me to do this and do some, and I don't know how I'm going to do that. And while God may be saying that to some of you, the reality is this, is that God's not telling you to retreat from the rest of the world. What God's telling you in this moment is you go back to the world that you're a part of and you let that world know about the incredible things of Jesus and what Jesus brings to the world. How different does it look for you to be different in the world that you're at every day of your life? For some of you, that's the job you're going to be at tomorrow morning. You'll go in and people say, what'd you do this weekend? And you just say, I went to church. Why? Because that's the thing we do. We just kind of go, right? Or maybe for you, it's going to school and they're like, what'd you do? Maybe you'll even make it up. You know what? Nothing. I slept in on Sunday. Maybe for some of us, we just go back to the normal life and the normal routine. And then as we go to the normal routine, we're not praising God for the things that we saw. One of the things I love about Crossroads is that we do baptisms around here a lot. And man, I tell people all the time about it. When I watch families that gather around, when I watch friends that come together, and I love this because when baptisms occur at Crossroads, people oftentimes will invite the people who are closest to them saying, hey, I'm getting baptized. We've watched as people have invited even their parole officers to come and say, look, you got to see this, man. This is great. And I love that sense of anticipation and excitement. But the problem for some of us is that we've had that anticipation. We've had that excitement. And that anticipation and that excitement went a long time ago. It just went away. And so this Christmas, is that something that you're willing to do?